I recently asked in a meeting with some folks here at the church if there's anything they'd like me to preach about. And one person gave me something along these lines, that how do you find God in the midst of a chaotic life? You know how life gets to be chaotic sometimes. How do you sense God's presence? How do you find God in those times? So that's what I want to address this morning. That's what I want to talk about. I'm going to address the question with the idea of life that may be chaotic in a number of ways. It may be chaotic in the sense of we have too much activity going on in too short a time. Sometimes life is chaotic that way. It may be emotionally chaotic, so that things seem to be out of control and you feel drained. It may be in the sense that you're really scrambling to meet physical needs. It may be that it seems too many people are depending on you. Or maybe health issues are involved. Or maybe it involves a sudden emergency crisis in your life. When things get chaotic, when they seem out of control, how do you sense God's presence? How do you find God in those times? So when I talk about chaotic, in short, I'm talking about when life is not working in the controlled and enjoyable manner that you'd like it to, and God doesn't seem to be coming to the rescue. Where is God? So I'd like to talk about that this morning, some keys to sensing God's presence in chaos. I think we have a tendency to expect life to be easier, to run smoothly. You know, I do. That's kind of what I'm looking for. I expect things to go well. When things become difficult, sometimes I become disillusioned or discouraged or wonder what's wrong. Where's God? Why aren't things going right? Jesus was trying to prepare the disciples for a time when things were going to get pretty chaotic for them. In John 16:33, this is what he said. He said, "I've told you these things," and what he had just told them about was, part of what he had just told them about was the fact that he was about to die on the cross. That was going to be pretty chaotic for the disciples. It upset everything for them. He says, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So Jesus tells the disciples, and he tells us, no, as a matter of fact, everything won't go smooth all the time. You will have trouble in this world. But he says, take heart. He says, you will have peace in me. He says, I have overcome the world. All this trouble comes in this world. We get trouble out of this world. Things become chaotic. But he says, take heart, I've overcome that. He will still be with us. He will be present with us. He says it won't last. He says, he's been telling the disciples before this, he said, I'll be separated from you. You will mourn, he says, but that won't last. It won't go on forever. You'll be reunited, and they will experience God's presence, he's been telling them, in a way that their joy will remain. You will experience my presence, he says. So I think we all know that. We all know that life doesn't always go smoothly. The issue really is getting this concept. We understand the concept. God is always present with us. We will have trouble. And in those experiences, that's normal to have trouble. God will be present in those times when we have trouble. So the problem is getting that from our head, right, to our heart. To really know that. To really know that trouble is not abnormal. It's a normal part of our life here. And God is present with us. Jesus is present with us in those times. So I'm trying to adopt some of those attitudes when I face difficulty in this life. Instead of thinking that everything's gone wrong now that I'm having some trouble, that things are about chaotic, to realize this is to be expected And God is here too. In this chaotic time, Jesus is present with me now. David, as he writes Psalm 139, is writing about God's presence. You may remember in Psalm 139, David says, "He hems me in before and behind." He's talking about the fact that God is always there wherever he goes. He says, "You even know the words I speak before I speak them," he says in Psalm 139. And then in verses 11 to 12, he says this. He says, "If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness," he says, "will not be dark to you." That's to God. "The night will shine like the day. The darkness is as light to you." What David is proclaiming is, God is always present with me, even in those chaotic and dark and difficult times. God is there. There is no darkness for God. God is light. So I won't be hidden, because that's part of what David says in the psalm, that we're not hidden from God. As I say, even in that darkness, it's as light to God. God hasn't lost you. He's there with you. He's present with you. Troubles are normal, and God is present. In Proverbs 12:25, it says this. It says, "An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up." Now, often the Proverbs are given kind of like this. It gives you one phrase and then another phrase, and the two are kind of related to each other. Sometimes they're parallel. This one says, "An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up." What's the connection between the two phrases there in this proverb? I believe the connection is that encouragement from others can help us when we're anxious. When you're anxious, encouragement from another person helps you out. It helps you with that anxiety. So an anxious heart, first of all, weighs a man down, but give him a kind word. It helps to cheer him up. It helps to encourage him in that anxiety. Of course, if somebody's going to do that for you, they have to know that you're anxious. They might be able to see it, or they might need you to tell them. So this is the second key here for experiencing God's presence in a chaotic time. Share your anxieties with others, with somebody that can encourage you, someone that can help you see things perhaps from another perspective. Sometimes when we become anxious, when life is chaotic, we lose perspective. It helps to hear from somebody else. With this new perspective, we may experience God's presence in a new way. So share your anxieties with others. And of course, the best one that you can share your anxieties with is with God. Share your anxieties with others and with God. Philippians 4:4-7 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Paulette mentioned this verse last week. I've referenced it often in my sermons, but I think it bears mention again. The antidote for anxiety is not just sharing those anxieties with others, but also sharing them with God. It says, "The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." That sounds like the presence of God. That's what we're looking for in those chaotic times. We're looking to sense that presence of God, to know that He's there, that He hasn't left us, that things aren't out of control, that God is in control. And that's what this verse really talks about. Doesn't say that everything will be instantly smoothed out, but it says the peace of God will be with us, that we will sense God's presence. I have to admit that I'm not always filled with peace the instant that I bring my anxieties to God. It doesn't always happen that way. But I can say that I have often found that my anxiety is greatly relieved when I've come to the Lord in prayer. So it's not always instantaneous, but it's an experience I've had often as I come to the Lord in bringing my anxieties, or when I talk to somebody else, another brother or sister, who can encourage me, who can help me see things from a different perspective. I find relief from my anxiety, and there's a sense of God's presence. I begin to realize that indeed God, who's a lot bigger than I am, is able to deal with the things that I'm not dealing with very well right now. And so I experience His presence in that way. So in the midst of chaos, share your anxieties with others and with God. In verse 5 there, you'll note that Paul encourages us that the Lord is near, he says. Before he even says this to bring your anxieties to Him in prayer, he says, the Lord is near. He encourages us. God is with us at all times. So troubles are normal, and God's present. Bring your anxieties to others, to God. I want you to listen to a song this morning. It's a song by Laura Story, Blessings. The song gives a view on chaos and the difficulty of life that we may struggle with. So as we see this view here, listen to this view this morning, you may struggle with it a little bit because it really talks about what's going on when there's chaos in our lives. The song is really exploring the idea that in the difficult and chaotic times of life, those are the times when we turn to and we connect with God. So I'd like you to listen to the song. The question is, could these times actually be blessings? That's the title of the song, is Blessings. So listen to the song. It'll take a few minutes, but just listen, reflect, think about it. You might agree or you might not agree. Listen to the song.
We pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity, we pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering, and all the while you hear each spoken need, yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleep nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. We cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness. we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. And all the while you hear each desperate plea, and long that we'd have faith to believe. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? And what if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise?
You might really be able to identify with that. I'm pretty sure you can identify with what that song says about calling out to God in difficult and chaotic times. If you're in a difficult time, the song might annoy you or make you angry. Could this be God's mercy in this difficult time? But it's the question, could times, these times, actually be blessings? It mentions in the song that this is not our home. I think it's exploring the idea, is that how we often connect with God? Is God actually really present in those times in special ways? And I wonder if these are the kinds of questions that Paul was entertaining when he wrote about God speaking to him in 2 Corinthians. This is what he said. He said, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations. He'd been talking about things that he had seen. He says, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I have to admit to you that I'm still not quite there with Paul, able to say that I delight in weaknesses. Paul did preface his statement with, for Christ's sake. He delights for Christ's sake. He recognizes that when he's weak, Christ's power is able to shine through in his life. And he realizes that's ultimately what he wants, is for Christ to be strong, to show his strength in his life. And for that reason, Paul says he delights in weaknesses. God's strength becomes evident in our weakness. That's really what Paul's saying. That's when Christ's strength becomes evident. Indeed, God is present when life is chaotic. So one of the keys to experiencing God's presence in chaos may be to look at how he's strengthened us in those times of weakness, in those times of chaos. How has he strengthened us? I was touched last week when Pat shared her weakness in parenting and then told us how meeting Jesus strengthened her and provided guidance in what was a chaotic period as a parent, if you were here last week. I believe she experienced God's presence in that chaotic place in her life. That was her testimony to us. How has God strengthened you in chaotic times of weakness? I'd like to read to you the testimony of Tim Howard. He's a soccer player. He says, having spent the first 10 years of my life with an undiagnosed case of Tourette syndrome, a neurological disorder characterized by uncontrollable physical and verbal tics, I did not experience a lot of peace. Yet even though my life often felt chaotic, I knew I could always count on one person to provide calm and stability, my grandmother. Nana's sense of peace was powerful because it came from her faith in the Lord. Through her, God revealed his love for me as well. It wasn't long before I was following in her footsteps. I wanted the same kind of faith and peace that she had, and that's exactly what God gave me. Living with Tourette's is not easy, but God has blessed me with the gift of athleticism and has done some powerful things in my life through the combination of these two gifts. He's helped me in my long-term success as a professional soccer player in the English Premier League and the U.S. national team. And he also has shown me ways to use my position as a professional athlete to encourage others with Tourette syndrome. Today I'm blessed to be living my dream. Yet if my soccer career went away tomorrow, I know I would still have peace. That probably sounds crazy to most people, but that's the kind of peace that Christ gives. It is rooted in his love, and it surpasses all understanding. He says you can experience this same sense of love and peace too. All you have to do is ask for it. It's a peace that God gives us. Is it possible that even in those difficult experiences, seems that Tim found that in his difficult experience of Tourette's. Finally, really as part of this, the fourth key is reflect on God's presence each day. Ignatius of Loyola, believed that we could find God to be present in all the experiences of life, both the good and the bad. And so he encouraged believers to examine each and every day how God had been present with them. And so he taught people to do what he called the examine. The idea was to take some time at the end of the day to be quiet, to invite God's presence, and to reflect with gratitude on your day and consider how God has been present in your day's events, as you think back through the day. As you think about, he especially suggested that you think about your emotions throughout the day. What were the different emotions that you had? How was God present at those times? What was he doing? What was he trying perhaps to say to you at those times? What was God maybe doing that you didn't even realize at that time? So reflect on God's presence each day. I think as we do that, we will learn to see and to recognize God's presence even when life gets chaotic, we'll be in the habit of recognizing how God is there with us and how He's present. Lamentations 3 says this. In Lamentations 3, the author is lamenting all of the chaos in his life. And if you read that chapter, it sounds pretty rough. It's a pretty chaotic chapter. In verse 21, he says, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for Him." The author of Lamentations is reflecting. And he says, it's new every morning. Your presence with me, Your mercies are new every morning. And so I think he had the habit of reflecting daily on God's presence. Reflect daily on God's presence in that way. There's new mercies every morning, every day. I'd like to ask the worship team to come up this morning. Life is chaotic sometimes. Troubles are normal. God is present during those times. Share your anxieties with God and with others. It's one of the ways that in those times we come to sense God's presence. Consider that God's strength is evident in our weakness. That's when God's strength becomes evident. And reflect each day on God's presence in that day. How's God been present with you? I'd like to ask you to stand as we pray. We'll sing together. If you'd like to come to the altar this morning, you can do that. Let's pray. Father, sometimes it is difficult to sense Your presence when life becomes chaotic in numerous ways. But Father, I ask that You would enable us to begin to more and more sense Your presence, both in those times when things seem good and those times when things don't seem so good. Father, I pray for each one here that they would know Your presence. Lord, none of us looks forward to difficulty, and yet we know that it is a part of this life. And so we proclaim this morning that Your mercies are new every morning. Father, that those difficulties do not last forever, but Your love does. Lord, that dark times will never hide us from You, for You are light. And so I pray, Lord, that faith for each one here this morning, that each one would know that You are with them, even if they are in a chaotic time right now. And so, Lord, we proclaim Your goodness and Your mercy this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.